And we're going to start reading tonight along verse number 13. We'll read down through several verses. So if you're at Luke chapter 24 and verse number 13, let me hear you with an amen.
Amen.
All right, let's start tonight. The Bible says here, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. He went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. Their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened us the scriptures? They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for these thy people that have come to hear your word. God, I pray tonight you would help us. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to say everything needs to be said, nothing that does not. Be with these stammering lips of clay. I pray you'd hide me behind the cross of Christ. Today, Lord, we ask for your help. And I pray, Lord, that when it's all said and done, you'll help us to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due only your holy name. We pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw your attention tonight back with me to verse number 32. And I want you to notice what the Bible says here. It says in verse number 32, And they said one to another, watch this now, Did not our heart burn within us? Did not our heart burn within us? Tonight, for the next few couple hours, I want to preach on this thought, a burning heart. A burning heart. I wonder how many people tonight honestly could say with a raised hand and don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many people could say tonight that they know someone or there's someone they can think of, somebody that comes to mind, that when they think of this burning heart, that is that person. When they think of that person, they think, boy, that's a person that's really on fire for God. I wonder tonight how many people truly, with knowing God knows their heart, would be able to say tonight that my heart tonight is on fire for God. Boy, I can tell you, listen, that person we would think of, well, they're really on fire for God. Or if ourselves, hopefully we're on fire for God. But the truth and the fact of the matter is many of us couldn't say that we have a heart tonight that's burning for God. Can I just tell you this tonight? If there's anything that catches the attention of others and causes them to take note of what you are saying and what you are doing, it is enthusiasm. Now, it's interesting tonight to note that the word enthusiasm is broken down out of from two Greek words. First of all, it's the word en, en, that part of the letter of the word enthusiasm, the en part, and it means the same thing. It means in, such as inside of me. It means in. It's the opposite of out. And then it's also made up of the word theos, the Greek word theos, which of course we know means God. So I want you to understand this. Therefore, the very definition of enthusiasm is one having God living on the inside of them. Boy, isn't that something that we ought to think about? Listen, His Word tells us, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. In fact, Jesus says that half-hearted Christianity and half-hearted Christians literally make Him sick. I was going to preach one time on this thought, things that make God puke. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 3, it says there in verse number 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Can I say this tonight? The Lord has enough lukewarm, ice cold, lethargic, dead Christians. And what He needs more than anything else is He needs some more Christians that has a heart that's on fire, burning for Him. A heart burning for God. You see, I want you to understand tonight, there's a difference in doing things out of obedience and doing things just because it's the right thing to do, and in doing things out of a burning heart. One produces discouragement. If you're just doing it because you're supposed to do it, eventually you're going to become discouraged. But the other one produces more than discouragement. It produces fruit. And if we're going to bear fruit for God, then we need to have a heart that burns for the Lord. In our passage tonight, we see two men who are walking on the road to Emmaus. I love this passage of Scripture, one of my favorite in all the Word of God. These men, as they're walking, they're discouraged. I mean, they're discontent. They were downhearted. It seems the one that they had put their trust in is gone. Jesus comes up and begins to walk with them and talk with them, though they don't even realize it's the Lord Jesus. The Bible says here in verse number 16, their eyes were holding that they should not know Him. As Jesus comes up, begins to walk with these men, understand the resurrection had happened, but they didn't know it happened. They thought Jesus was just gone. They'd seen Him on the cross being crucified, and their world was rocked, literally had been turned upside down, and here they don't know what else to think. Their eyes were holding when Jesus comes and walks with them, and they don't even know it's the Lord Jesus. And Jesus begins to ask them what's wrong and why they're so sad. They begin to explain to Him how that they had been there at the crucifixion and how they waited a certain amount of time, and on the third day they turned back and headed for home. And they said, boy, it's been a sad, sad time. We believe Jesus Christ was going to be the Lord, and that He was going to rule, and that He was going to reign, and that He was going to be King. They said, we had all of our hopes in Him. But we trusted, they said, it would have been Him which would have redeemed Israel. All of our hopes were in Him, but they said, look, He got crucified. And here we've waited around 3 days. He told us that He is going to get up on the third day. That's what He said, that He is going to arise on the third day. They said, and now here it is, the third day, and we hadn't seen Him at all. And that's what He said. He's going to get up on the third day, but we hadn't seen Him at all. And so we're just going to head back to the house. It seems like it's all over. But can I tell you this? In God's economy, just when it seems like it's all over, really, it's just beginning. Listen, praise God, it will be all over one day. But when it is all over, we'll be walking with Him and we'll be seeing Him face to face. Moving on through the story, Jesus is talking with them and fellowshipping with them. He even begins to break bread with them. It's amazing. You read this passage of Scripture and He reveals who He is. And then just like that, He's gone. And in verse number 32, we read, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scripture. And I want to see tonight for the next few moments how it is that these men had a heart on fire for God. Why do some people's heart burn for God and the things for God, and others grow cold on God? How is it that some people day after day and week after week and month after month and moment by moment, they continue to have that fire, they continue to have that burn, they continue to have that desire, they continue to have that zeal, they continue to have that drive to go on and to get a hold of God, while others just grow cold on God and eventually quit on the Lord? What's the difference? Well, tonight, first of all, I want you to see a recipe for heartburn. A recipe for heartburn. You see, there are some ingredients that are sure to give people heartburn. Many of you sitting out there tonight know exactly what I'm talking about. There are certain things you know you better stay away from. I like sausage, but I can't eat sausage because, man, it burns me up. And there's some things I can eat. It's a lot worse than that, really, but it doesn't bother me. But sausage is one of those things that if I get a hold of it, it gets a hold of me. Onions, usually uncooked. If they're not cooked, I can't do it because they're going to give me heartburn. They're going to tear me up. I had lunch today, me and Brother Jim, down at the Mexican restaurant, and they got this salsa down there. And I said, look, this is good stuff, but sometimes they put a little gunpowder in it, and that stuff will light you up, man. You know? And there are some ingredients that are certain to give you heartburn. In that same manner, there are some things that are sure to give you a burning heart for God. I mean, if you got these things in your life, it's a recipe that is certain to give you a holy heartburn. We find these things present with these two men who had burning hearts. Tonight, to have a burning heart for God, one ingredient, first of all, is there must be, watch this, a presence of His Word. There must be a presence of His Word. Look back with me at verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He opened to us the Scripture? While He opened to us the Scripture. If we're going to have a heartburn for God, can I say this? There must be a presence of His Word. Can I say tonight, when you get in God's Word, better yet, when you let God's Word get in you, honey, can I tell you this? It'll cause a holy heartburn that nothing you can do about. Think about what Jeremiah said. He said, well, I'm tired of preaching those stiff-necked people. I'm tired of preaching and nobody listening. And Jeremiah since said, I quit. I'm done. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to preach or speak anymore in His name. But you know the rest of the story. He said, but His Word. But His Word was like a fire shut up in my bones, and I could not stay. People wonder sometimes why I get so wound up sometimes, and I'm being reserved tonight, but so wound up when I'm preaching. You see, when I'm preparing to preach, the method that I've learned works for me the best. And I've told it to some of you, but it's a surefire way to be fired up about what you're talking about. It's simply this: read yourself full. Get a hold of the Word of God and let the Word of God get in you and get a hold of you. Read yourself full. Write yourself clear. Pray yourself clean. And then, praise God, you can get in the pulpit and let yourself go. But what we need is we need to let the Word of God light us up. There has to be a presence of the Scripture. And when you have that, you'll have a heart that's on fire for God. I'm going to tell you where the heydays of Christianity in America have gone. Well, it used to be you go into the average Baptist church, and I mean, it was a hopping place. It was a shouting place. It was a fired up place. And listen, so oftentimes now you walk in, you feel like you're at the First Baptist of the Deep Freeze, pastored by Jack Frost. I'm simply saying tonight, listen, something's got to light us up, and something needs to get us back on fire for God. Where the heydays of Christianity in America have gone is the true heart for God in our churches have gone. Let me tell you where true passion in ministry has gone. Why is there not that spark? Why is there not that fire? Why is there not that burning desire in people's hearts about the things of God anymore. Listen, it's because people are walking into church buildings and hearing everything but the Word of God while they are there. And listen, that won't do anything for your heart. You want to know why there's not a heart for God in the home? It's because we're reading everything and watching everything and hearing everything but the Word of God. And listen, friend, that's not going to set your heart on fire for God. But can I tell you this tonight? It was God's Word that got a hold of you. It was God's Word that changed you. It was God's Word that became real to you. And it, listen, it's God's Word that lit that fire the first time. It's going to be God's Word that'll light the fire the second time. If you want to burn for God, get in His Word. Get in His Word. There is no substitute. That's the thing that lights my fire. Oh boy, you get in there and you start getting in there and that Word of God starts speaking to you, Brother Jim. I mean, that Word of God just starts indwelling you and filling you. And I tell you this, I can't sit down very long when that happens. I get up and start moving around. You ought to try to study or write something down or take notes while you're moving. I can't sit down. I start studying. I got to move, man, because there's a fire. First notice, God reveals Himself to man in His Word. I said there's got to be a presence of His Word. Why? Because God reveals Himself to man in His Word. Look with me at verse number 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, watch this. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures, here it is, the things concerning Himself. On every single chapter of every single book in this Bible, you want to know what you find? You find Jesus. He's revealed in His Word. One of the things I liked about when I was over at Crown taking those courses over there, one of the things I like is on one of those sheets that you're studying through, those Old Testament survey and New Testament survey, is Christ in the book. That was one thing that you'll find on each and every one of your papers that you had, Christ in the book, and Christ is seen all throughout the Word of God. There are many places, there are two books at least that He's never mentioned, but guess what? He's pasted in every single word of those pages in that book. He's revealed in His Word. You see, it's in His Word where you really get to know Him. Jesus said this, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Watch this. And they are they which testify of me. Oh yes, He reveals Himself in His Word. It's through His Word that we get to know Him. It's through His Word that we learn who His really is. The Bible has one central message, and that message is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Creator of the world. He tells us in Colossians, all things were made by Him. In the Old Testament, think about it, Jesus is that coming Messiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, Isaiah chapter 9. And listen, He is that coming Messiah in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus is that babe in Bethlehem. He's the sacrificial lamb. Jesus is the risen Savior. Jesus is the coming King. And the message of the Word of God is the Lord Jesus. Hence He said, they, the Scriptures, are they which testify of me. We got to have His Word. Why? He reveals Himself to us through His Word. That's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to get to know God? You want to have a heart that's on fire for God? Get in the Word. The Bible says here, He opened unto them the Scriptures. And it says He expounded unto them out of the Scriptures the things concerning themselves. And it said this, and then their heart began to burn. In verse number 32, we need to see Him for who He really is. And friend, when you start to get a picture of all He is and who He is, your heart cannot help but to burn. He's that seed. Think about this, praise God. He's that seed that the Bible tells us in Genesis would bruise the head of the serpent. When we pass by the tabernacle there on the Day of Atonement, we get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus. When we see the serpent lifted up in the wilderness, what's it say? Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Oh yes, He's in the character of Joseph. He's in the courage of David. He's in the wisdom of Solomon. He's in the power of Elijah. The underlying theme of every book in the Bible is Jesus. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright morning star. He is the root of David. He is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. He's King of Kings and He's Lord of Lords. And if you want to get to know who he really is, you got to find him in his word, in the book. He's revealed himself to us in his word. He opened the scriptures and then revealed who he was. And the Bible says their hearts begin to burn. You want to know why your heart begins to burn sometimes while I'm preaching? You want to know why your heart begins to burn sometimes while I'm teaching? You want to know what that spark is? You want to know what that arousal is? I'm opening unto you the scriptures, and you see him for who he is in the scriptures. Number one, God's word. God reveals himself to man. Secondly, got to have the presence of the scriptures. God's word requires faith. Not only God's word, where God reveals himself to man, but God's word requires faith. You know what these two men's problem was? They simply didn't believe. They knew the word, but they just did not believe the word. In verse 25, he says, "O fools, and slow in heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" The thing that was wrong with these men is while they knew the word of God, they knew what the prophets had said, they really didn't believe it. The word had really not ever connected with them. I tell you this, I believe there's a lot of people that can quote this Bible, but they don't believe it. There's some atheists that can quote this Bible and know more Bible than many people in this room, but they don't believe it. There has to be that time when that word of God indwells your heart and comes in. It requires faith. When Jesus opened up the word and expounded unto them things concerning himself, they begin to remember. They begin to get excited. A fire here begins to kindle. Their heart begin to burn. I'll never forget witnessing to a lady some years ago, and I'm talking with her, and I'm just giving her the Word of God and giving her the Scripture, and she was listening, and I could literally watch this. I could literally watch her face begin to light up. I'm not lying to you. I'm being serious this time. I know, you know, preachers say this is true, and, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth because, you know, everything else is a lie, you know. But anyway, listen, I watched her face begin to light up. And her face, you know, and she literally said to me, the more I talk, and finally I let her say some things, and she said, I just want to say yes, yes, yes. Why? Because she knew what I was telling her was true, and she believed it. It was the Word of God. It was the Word of God. The prophets prophesied what was going to happen to Jesus. He said, "Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken." They had Isaiah. They had Jeremiah. The prophets had testified of Jesus. Isaiah said he'd be despised and rejected of men, a man of acquainted with sorrows, acquainted with grief. Isaiah prophesied that he would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. And Jesus says to these two men, "You should have believed the word." Notice Jesus did not show these men the prints in his hands as he did Thomas, but he showed them his word. He opened unto them his word. Why? Because his word requires faith. It's a matter of faith. Listen, I can get in all kind of deep things regarding this book right here, and we can talk about all the reasons it's true, all the reasons it's real, and we can talk about those that were had the part of translating this Bible, and we could talk about the Masoretic text and text receptions. We can talk about all those kinds of things, but can I just tell you this? At the end of the day, you're going to have to take it by faith. At the end of the day, you either believe it or you do not believe it. It's that simple. His word requires faith. Can I tell you this? I've never seen the prints in his hands. I've never seen the prints in his feet. I've never seen the hole in his side. But praise God, I've read his word. Praise God, I've heard his word. I believe his word. I trust his word. I stand upon his word. My heart's on fire tonight. You know why? Because of his word. His word. Notice verse number 21. "But we trusted," they said. Can I tell you this? You can trust him. "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. It didn't look to them like God had kept His word. It didn't look to them like God was going to do what He said He was going to do. And I just want to say tonight, no matter what it may look like, what it may taste like, what it may smell like, what it may seem like, you can trust His word. I thank God you can trust His word. I'm glad sometimes in the middle of the night, and some of you know what I'm talking about, those sleepless nights, sometimes in the middle of the night, God reassures me with His word. I think of old John the Baptist there locked up in prison. He had given his life to preach the gospel. We talked about him a minute, just a little bit this morning. He's locked up in prison now and literally facing death. We know he did see death. But he's literally facing death, and it seemed like God had forsaken him. As John was in prison, he began to doubt a little bit. And he said, go and ask him, is he still the one that should come, or should we look for another? Has this all been in vain, or have I served him in vain? Is he still the one that's going to come, or is there somebody else? Have we just missed it altogether? And in his heart he said, well, has it been worth serving him, and has it been worth following him? And John sent one of his disciples there to ask him if he's still the one. The Bible says that Jesus sent a message to John. Can I just say this tonight? I thank God for some of the messages that God has sent along the way in my life. Times, listen, when my heart was down, when my heart was discouraged, when my soul was wandering, I'm glad that God did not forget where I was. God remembered who I was. Oh, He says, we trusted Him. Jesus sent a word back to John. He said, go and tell him that the deaf still hear, the dumb still speak, the blind can still see. And what was he saying? All those messianic miracles that was said the Messiah would perform, Jesus has performed them all. We just got to have faith in His word. One ingredient that we must have in order to have a burning heart is a presence of His word. Not only that, but if we're going to have a burning heart, it requires, watch this, a personal walk. A personal walk. Verse number 15, Bible says, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near, watch this now, and went with them. In verse 32, did not our hearts burn with us while He talked with us by the way? A personal walk with Him will produce a burning heart. Here they're walking with Jesus, who's just been resurrected. He's just risen from the dead. He's just gotten out of the grave. Aren't you glad we have a Savior tonight that walks with us? And listen, He wants to spend time with us, who comes to us in our time of trouble. Always, listen, shows up in our time of need. And He walks with us and talks with us. My God wants to fellowship personally with me. He desires to talk personally with me. What does He say? Call, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. He has some great things for you and for me. It takes a personal walk with Him to have a burning heart. If we'll start walking personally with Him, you know what? We'll want to spend more time with Him. Look what He say, verse number 28. And they drew nigh unto the village, this, the two disciples and Jesus walking together. Whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. That's Jesus. But they constrained Him, saying, watch this, abide with us. Abide with us. Boy, can I tell you something? When you start walking with Him, when you start opening up these books, you know what you want to do? You want to walk with Him further. Abide with us. They still didn't know who He was, but there was just something about walking with Him. There was just something about talking with Him. They didn't want the walk to end. They did not want their fellowship to end. They didn't want the Bible study to end. Their heart was on fire for more, and they said, abide with us. Friend, can I just tell you tonight, if your heart does not burn to spend time with the lovely Son of God, it's because you've never spent time with Him before. Because if you've ever spent time with Him before, if you've ever communed with Him before, if you've ever had real fellowship with the Lord before, there'll be a desire, there'll be a fire, there'll be a yearning, there'll be a burning, there'll be a heart that burns to be with Him. You know what I don't understand? I don't understand tonight the Muslims that kill people, and supposedly they do it for their God, who is a dead God, by the way. Watch this now. How is it that they murder and kill people for their dead God? They can't walk with Him. They can't talk with Him. They can't have fellowship with Him. He's still in the grave. Yet they find enough passion and they find enough allegiance to kill and to maim and to harm for a God that's dead. And yet we Christians, watch this now, have a hard time staying fueled up and staying fired up and remaining faithful to God that's alive, one that walks with us and talks with us and tells us that He's our own. Why in the world? Listen, if a group of people can get so fired up and worked up about a dead God, how is it that you and I, who have a God who is so much alive, can't stay on fire for Him? Because it takes a personal walk. It takes a presence of the Word. Not only the recipe for a burning heart, secondly, the results of a burning heart. The thing that causes too much heartburn or heartburn is too much acid. Most of you, many of you experience that or have experienced that. It's too much acid. I was talking with a fellow yesterday, the day before, that had this problem in the mornings. Every single morning he'd get sick. I mean, just right after he'd eat, he'd just get sick and just start doing what you do and you get sick. And it was every morning. Finally went to the doctor and they told him he's got acid reflux and they gave him some medicine. I was talking with him and said he's doing a lot better. But you get heartburn when your stomach is full of acid. In other words, when it gets too filled up that it can't hold anymore, then that acid starts overflowing and that heart starts burning. And when you get so full of the Word of God from walking with Him and being with Him and reading His Word, can I tell you something? You can't help it, but it just starts overflowing because your heart is full of God. Let me tell you something. When we do God's work out of a heart that's overflowing from a personal walk with Him, from a presence of His Word, then we do it different. When you do God's work out of an overflowing heart and an abundance of love and an abundance of joy and an abundance of compassion for the Lord, you'll do it different. You'll do it different. Verse number 33 says, they rose up, went to Jerusalem and found the 11 and told them He's alive. Well, something happened to these boys. I mean, they'd quit. They was on the road. They said, well, we thought it had been Him who would have redeemed Israel. Beside all, it's been the third day since these things were so. We ain't seen Him at all. But listen, I praise God, I'm glad. When your heart starts overflowing with Him, it'll take a mourner and it'll make them a missionary. When your heart starts overflowing with the Lord Jesus, listen, it'll take a person who's cold and hard and dead, and it'll fire them up and give them a heart that's hot and soft and ready to serve the Lord Jesus. Before Jesus came along, these men were having a bad day. But buddy, after they walked with Him for a while, after they was in His presence for a little while, after they talked with Him for a little while, and they bathed and basked in His Word for a while, they got to tell somebody about Him. The Bible says they returned to Jerusalem. They were discouraged, but praise God, now they're encouraged. They had given up, but now they just can't seem to shut up. And when your heart gets on fire for God, it'll turn you around. We have some people that go out every single month out on visitation, out knocking doors and out there trying to tell people about Jesus and trying to reach our community for Christ and trying to be the lighthouse that God has told us to be. And praise God for those that are faithful and willing to do that. But can I tell you this? It's a whole lot more fun when you're looking forward to it. It's a whole lot more fun when you're doing it because, man, your heart is on fire for God and you got to tell somebody. Many of you, the only time you felt that's when you got saved. And you got saved, man, you wanted to tell somebody. There was something overflowing inside of you and you couldn't hold it back. You see, when we truly have a heart for God, it's not a problem to get people out on visitation. When you truly have a heart for God, there's no shortage in the offering plate. When you truly have a heart for God, it's not hard to get workers. When you truly have a heart for God, you don't have to browbeat people to get here on Sunday night. You say, preacher, you're preaching to the choir. Just let me preach to the choir for a little while. I'm simply saying, God, help us to get a heart that's on fire for God. Something's got to happen. Something's got to happen. Listen, can I tell you this? We know Christianity in a nutshell is not in trouble, but Christianity's dying in this country. Churches are dying in this country. Christians are dying in this country. Maybe not physically, some are, but spirits, I don't mean they're losing their salvation, but I mean, man, they're just going out to pasture. Why? Because there's no fire anymore. Something's got to happen to get us fired up about this thing, and nothing, listen, can do that like having a heart on fire for God. You see, we want to do all these things without a heart for God. And when we try to do God's work without a burning heart, there's no results. And that leads to discouragement. It leads to discouragement. John Wesley was asked one time, what was the secret to his ministry? I want you to listen to what he said. He said, I asked God to set me on fire and let people come and watch me burn. Let people come and watch me burn. Why don't you come and ask God tonight to set your heart on fire? Why don't you come and ask God tonight to rekindle the flame? But you see, there's a recipe. It takes the presence of God's Word. Can I just tell you this? I can't go very long without this book right here before I start getting cold, before I start getting indifferent, before I start the luster of the things of God lose their power. And I'm simply saying that I need God's Word in my life every single day. I need His presence of His Word. I need His personal walk. I need a personal walk with Him. You see, it's like we think there's some secret to this thing. And how is it that Christians have been serving God 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and they're tired and they're discouraged? As a pastor, talked to a man recently, been in church his whole life, and he said, why am I not happy? I don't understand. I said, I've done this, I've done that. Why is it that I'm not happy? Because watch this, when you try to serve God out of nothing but obedience, and that's not a bad reason to serve Him while obeying, but when it's out of nothing but obedience, out of just simply doing what I'm supposed to do, I want to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to become discouraged. But boy, when you do it out of a loving heart, out of a burning heart, that does not happen. I think we have a wonderful church. I know we do. Praise God, I brag on you all the time. But at the end of the day, listen, church can't get it done. At the end of the day, you got to have a presence of His Word personally. At the end of the day, you got to have a personal walk with God personally. I've listened to people. I haven't heard anybody say that here yet, but I've heard it said many other places. Well, preacher, I'm just not getting fed anymore. Can I just tell you this? If you go all week and you don't eat anything and you go to McDonald's and get a combo meal, that's not going to fill you up. You can't come, listen, and think that you come to church, even if you're coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and mostly the crowd that says this only comes Sunday morning, and then think that, well, I'm just not getting fed anymore. Guess what? It's your responsibility to eat. God help us. You want a heart on fire for God? It takes His Word. It takes His Word. There's got to be a presence of the Word. Got to be a personal walk. Let's stand for prayer tonight.